Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
An internal State Department memo from July, confirmed, received by Secretary of State Anthony Blinken, warned of a swift Taliban takeover, exposing President Biden's claim he was not warned before last weekend's Taliban takeover. Republican Congressman from Georgia, Jody Heiss, tells Newsmax TV, the White House has gone silent on providing lawmakers details of what's going on in Afghanistan.
We have tons of other questions, such as our embassy. Is our embassy secure? If not, has it been breached? Is the information, sensitive information, in the embassy safe or secured, or has it been destroyed, or has it been captured by the Taliban? We have tons of questions, and thus far we have zero answers.
38 days later, most of the 50 Texas House Democrats that ran away from their responsibilities on voting integrity legislation returned Thursday. The Texas Supreme Court this week ruled that they did break the law and could be arrested. USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
American Airlines continues to say no alcohol to travelers. Wendy King reports.
American Airlines has extended a ban on alcohol sales in its economy class until at least January. The new date is in line with the federal mask mandate for public transportation that was also extended through that date. American Airlines had previously extended a ban on the sale of alcohol through September 13th. Southwest Airlines is the only other airline currently prohibiting the sale of alcohol. The airline doesn't have a timetable to resume alcohol sales after reverting plans to lift the restriction on most flights by July 14th after a passenger physically assaulted one of its flight attendants. The FAA announced civil penalties totaling more than $1 million were levied against close to 4,000 unruly passengers just since January. From the USA Radio News Pacific Northwest Bureau, I'm Wendy King.
American Airlines normally charges $8 per beer. This is USA Radio News.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
In December of 2014, the late Senator of Arizona, Republican John McCain, went down to the Senate floor to warn his colleagues about Anthony Blinken, our current Secretary of State.
Pending a vote concerning Mr. Anthony Tony Blinken, who is not only unqualified, but in fact, in my view, one of the worst selections that of a very bad lot that this president has chosen. I hope that many of my colleagues will understand that not often do I come to the floor to oppose a nomination of the President of the United States, because I believe that elections have consequences. In this case, this individual has actually been dangerous to America and to the young men and women who are fighting and serving it. Let's just review a couple of some of the elements in particular and Mr. Blinken's role in conceptualizing and furthering it. U.S. foreign policy is in a shambles. It's at best a strategic and at worst anti-strategic. I'll move on to Afghanistan. Mr. Blinken said, quote, "We've been very clear. We've been consistent. The war will be concluded by the end of 2014. We have a timetable, and that timetable will not change." This is why I'm so worried about him being in the position that he's in, because if they stick to that timetable, I am telling my colleagues that we will see the replay of Iraq all over again.
I'm Lance Pry, USA Radio News.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront, no hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
And independent. This is Bill Martinez.
Minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Great to have you with us. It's also great to have Damian Paletta with us of the Washington Post. We're going to be talking about his brand new book, Nightmare Scenario. Damian, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, inside, we're taking an inside look at the Trump administration's response to the pandemic that changed history. This is a bit of a historic look at a point in time, and for you to be able to get this opportunity to, you know, go inside the Trump administration, this was a big opportunity for you, was it not?
Yeah, and it's actually funny you mentioned that. You know, I was at the Wall Street Journal as sort of a cub reporter in 2008 during the financial crisis, and, you know, was just working my tail off, writing for the front page every day. I covered the economic policy at the time. And then, you know, when the dust settled, there were a number of books that came out afterwards, and I sort of kicked myself and said, wow, you know, I had the vantage point on this. I really probably could have written the best book, but it never occurred to me to be, you know, thinking about my journalism in that way. And so here we have another economic crisis in, you know, the spring of 2020, and one of my colleagues at the Washington Post, Yasmin Abutaleb, who covers health policy, approached me and said, what do you think about doing a book? And I said, wow, you know, maybe this will be my chance. You know, I missed my opportunity during the financial crisis. Maybe here we can do something really historic and create a record for readers far into the future about what happened, because there were so many things that, you know, so many health events and economic events happening all at once. We felt like we really needed to put it in a book for people to, you know, comprehend and digest exactly what was going on last year.
Yeah. And the thing is the chapters are still being written, aren't they, Damian?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's, you know, I have two kids. They're about to start their third school year that'll have been interrupted by COVID. It's just unbelievable. And obviously this Delta variant is very scary. You know, there's still a lot of, you know, concern about what could happen if we head into the fall and the winter with an, you know, a big upswing like we saw last year in the fall and winter. So, yeah, the chapters are being written. The public policy is being made on the fly. You know, mistakes are being made by policymakers still. You know, they're underestimating the virus in certain ways. They're, you know, obviously, as I mentioned, schools, I mean, there's so many things about the long-term effects of this on society, you know, both in terms of trusting public health and in terms of what this is going to mean for so many children and high schoolers and even college kids who had big parts of their lives disrupted by this. It'll take years for us to know the true aftermath of what happened.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And Donald Trump was real clear to not let the solution be worse than the disease. I think that was the admonition to all of us and to leaders across the country, governors, any elected official. that was going to be thrust in that position. And unfortunately, you know, it seems that we're there. Maybe we underestimated. A lot of things were underestimated in terms of, you know, what it was, what the cost of kids not being in school. I mean, and that's just one of many factors. I mean, we can talk about business. We talk about all these other things, but particularly kids, how do we get them back on track and up to speed? Because we know the human brain's a muscle and it has to be exercised. And, you know, even though there was, you know, some Zoom teaching and that sort of thing that was taking place, it's not anything like being in the classroom.
No. And I mean, listen, I'm a journalist for 20 years. I'm a parent, too. I think, you know, my partner and I poured everything we had into this book. But as a parent, that's what kept me up at night, you know, is, you know, just the impact on the kids. And you mentioned exercising the brain muscle. I mean, I think even the lost sports seasons that so many kids went through, like, you know, so many kids, I think, just normally kind of drop out of sports when they're 13 or 14 years old. But so if you have, you know, 10-year-olds, and I'm sorry for talking about this, but I feel so passionate about it. But if you have 10-year-olds who quit T-ball because there was no team, and then, you know, next thing you know, they just never get into it, and they never learn about team sports and how to lose like a champ and that kind of thing, I mean, that's going to affect the rest of their life. And I think it's incumbent on all of us not just to say, okay, throw our kids back into school and kind of pick up where you left off. It's going to take a lot of work.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
As parents, as neighbors, as, you know, to sort of nurture these kids back and kind of understand when they have good days and bad days that there's a lot of things going on in their head. And that's one of the things that, you know, as a parent and as a member of society, I'm, you know, the most nervous about is kids have a hard time talking about their feelings and knowing when they can express frustration and stuff. And this is something they shouldn't have to be expected to have come through with ease. You know, it was a really hard thing on them.
Well, exactly. I mean, you know, adults are having a hard time understanding it.
Sure.
How are they responding? All they know is that there's something not right. There's something not comfortable here in the land of the free. And, you know, what to make of it. And I appreciate your heart, Damien, on this, because you're exactly right. I think when we look at it psychologically, how do we we can anticipate it. I'm glad you're talking about it, because maybe some other parents haven't really thought about it because they're eager to get back. I just need to get back to work. I get back to work and, hey, you know, you go do the school thing you're supposed to do and move on. And meanwhile, you know, it's like, wait a minute. You know, you got kids here that, you know, they got damaged. I mean, in a sense, you can, you know, not to be over dramatic, I mean, you could say it's a mild form of some, you know, PTSD possibly that they experienced as a result of not going. Is that fair?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, I live in Northern Virginia and my daughter, you know, she lost her basketball season. And so I said, you know, there was this one gym, it was a pretty fancy gym that was having a league. And so I signed her and some of her girlfriends up for a team. And we go out there, Bill, and it was like all these travel teams. My daughter lost her first game 44-0, okay, in basketball. I never heard of that before.
Yeah, exactly.
And they weren't crying. They didn't care. They just wanted to be out there sweating and goofing around. You know, it was good for them. And, you know, we're fortunate that we were able to kind of like rally the resources and stuff to do it. But so many kids, especially kids in single parent households, you know, kids that don't have access to Wi-Fi and that really struggled to be on these Zooms with their teachers, kids that needed to see their teachers' faces, you know, and sit at the lunch table. I mean, I think one of the biggest, obviously, you know, there's been so much death and destruction and it's terrifying. And my great aunt died of COVID. It's just a very lonely, sad way to go. But the legacy of this with kids is something that's going to be studied for so long. And it's something that's going to really kind of gnaw at me, you know, as long as I'm a parent.
In looking, having an inside look at this, Damien, in the Trump White House, and as you look over the prevailing events, do you see where politics got in the way of this whole thing and has kind of been the shroud and the cover that has kept us from having this conversation about our kids?
That's a great question. I think, so initially, we tried to write the book chronologically to help it make sense for readers. And so what happened on January 15th, the President Trump signed this trade deal with China. And, you know, it was a huge achievement. He'd been working on it his whole first term. Mm-hmm. And he got the Chinese vice premier to come to the White House for this event. He signed the trade deal. Now, you know, at the time, I think there was not even a confirmed case in the United States. There were these mm-hmm. kind of rumblings out of China that there was this kind of weird pneumonia-like thing going on.
Damian, we got to go to a quick break. Let's pause for a second, and we'll pick it up from there. We've got more from Damian Pauletta after this. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you, too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're 65 or older and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your health care costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer you wonderful money-saving benefits, but you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
This is Don Shank with today's global update from the Tide Ministry, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ worldwide in the languages people were born to speak. 75 years ago, Reverend Charlie Byers started the Gospel Tide Hour radio program to share the gospel message in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. That initial Gospel Tide Hour show that enthralled the surrounding community gave birth to the Tide Ministry, a global network of partners sharing the gospel and making disciples in 30 different languages on three continents. The gospel has the power to change lives all around the world, and our passion is to help as many people as possible find new life in Christ by telling them the good news about Jesus in their own language. We are humbled by what God has enabled us to accomplish over 75 years, and we look forward to what the Lord will do in the next seven decades. To learn about the Tide Ministry's vision to impact even more people over the next 75 years and how you can participate in sharing the good news of Christ around the globe, visit thetide.org. That's thetide.org.
Independent we are, 19 minutes after the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez. We come to you Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern. 6 to 9 Pacific, and Damian Paletta is with us, the author of the new book, Nightmare Scenario, Inside the Trump Administration's Response to the Pandemic that Changed History, no doubt. Damian, you were telling the story about, Trump signing this historic, was it a historic trade deal with China at the time?
Yeah, it was a historic trade deal with China, and I think, you know, for the first really month or two, they were trying to follow the virus. Now, this was a really weird virus in that it was spreading it with people who had no symptoms, right? So It wasn't a Republican or Democratic thing. No one was prepared for a crazy virus like that. I think when we started to see politics seep in was with the debate about wearing masks. Mm-hmm. And that was in late March. And I think the issue was, quite frankly, that the public health experts really couldn't enunciate their defense. Obviously, at first, Fauci and others said, we don't need to encourage mask wearing. We need to keep the mask for the hospitals. People don't need to wear masks. Then all of a sudden, they pivot sharply and say, we do need to wear masks. And so a lot of libertarians inside the White House are saying, well, you know, where's the science? What do we believe here? You guys keep changing your position. And then the masks kind of turn into this political thing. Mm-hmm. And I think the same thing started to happen over the summer of 2020 with schools where it turned into this like weirdly tribal debate. The teachers unions got really adamant quickly. A lot of others, the president felt very strongly that schools needed to reopen and he threatened to hold back money. There was never any time for a discussion, about this is like a really tricky thing.
Right.
And so once everyone, the kind of swords were out on masks and the swords were out on schools, it just made the country, kind of at each other's throats. And unfortunately, next thing you know, we got closer and closer to the election and no one was able to kind of take a deep breath and figure out what like the best approach was. And I think that's when the politics started to overwhelm the issue.
Well, as a journalist, do you feel like journalism was MIA on this deal? Because we really needed professional journalism to address this issue and clarify the politics. But it seemed that about that time, to my best of recall here, Damian, was you had social media and the big tech giants coming in and they were grabbing hold of the narrative because, as you said, we started getting into the election season. And meanwhile, of course, Trump had been, battling impeachment and, one bit of argument and resistance from the Democratic Party nonstop for 4 years. And, so all this really kind of started bubbling, and it was overflowing with heat here. And it's almost like we lost our mind and common sense was out the door and it just became emotional.
For sure. And Bill, that's the title of our book, Nightmare Scenario. I mean, it was such a nightmare. You had George Floyd, Memorial Day. You had the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. There was just so many things happening at once. So many things that this country, would have struggled to deal with one of them. And for them all to be happening at once and in an election year was just incredibly challenging. And like you said, this is a virus that no one understood, right? We still don't even know the origins of it. And for these things to be happening with a virus that we didn't know how to stop, there was no vaccine for initially. There was just so much on the American public and the American political system, and you're right, on the American media as well. And I think, a lot of us did our best, and we're still doing our best as this virus, refuses to quit. But we need to be honest with ourselves about, how chaotic last year was.
Well, Damian, the other thing I look at, too, was leadership. I mean, we needed a president that had the backing of the people to, help us navigate through this. And unfortunately, with the media narrative that was out there and, I know it's an overused term, but yeah, there was a lot of fake news. I mean, that was clear. And they really nullified the leader of the free world. I mean, we did this at a great cost. Don't you think?
Oh, for sure. And it's funny you mentioned that. I mean, President Trump's approval rating, I think, was at the highest point of his presidency in late March 2020. And that's when he was doing those daily briefings, an hour or 2 hours, where he was just speaking straight to the American public about what was going on. I think the Americans didn't blame Trump for the virus at first. They wanted someone to lead them, to tell them it was going to be okay, to tell them we need to, buckle down together, we'll get through this, et cetera. Unfortunately, where the president ran into some trouble was when he had that kind of famous press briefing where he mentioned bleach and stuff, and his words, you know, really got magnified and bounced all over the world. Then he kind of pulled back and stopped doing the briefings, and then everyone kind of got into their corners and started throwing bombs at each other. And unfortunately, no one was able to kind of recover from there. There was no bipartisan effort from either party to really get the truth out, to really help Americans understand what they were up against. And then when that fall surge of the virus started around October, when the president went to Walter Reed, you know, it was almost too late at that point.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing, too, that we've run into, which has all contributed to this vaccine hesitancy, is just, as you said earlier, the amount of confusion and the mixed messages that are out there. I mean, we were given numbers by Johns Hopkins of, you know, how many people were dying and infected. And then here recently you had the CDC finally admitting that, you know, if you looked at only COVID patients, the ones that just died of COVID only, it was less than 5%. But meanwhile, you know, hey, the big headline is 600,000 people are dying, and, you know, they're predicting 2 million deaths here in America. Boy, man, this thing, like you said, it was a nightmare, you know, scenario of great degree.
Right. And so I think, I mean, one of the sad lessons I hope we all learn from this is how important it is to have someone you trust on, you know, medical and scientific things. You know, I think a lot of people don't trust politicians giving them medical advice, you know, for good reason.
Yeah, right. Yes.
But they should trust their doctor. And so all the more reason to go have a conversation with your doctor or your kid's doctor.
Right. Exactly.
You know, someone who has a vested interest in your health. And,
right.
And so I think the more we can do that and we kind of take care of ourselves and take care of each other, we'll be better prepared for the next one of these, you know, heaven forbid it happen in our lifetimes.
Well, yeah, this is no question whatsoever. Hopefully this remains unique. But something tells me that we've been set up and conditioned along the way here, and people are watching. Damian Paletta is with us of The Washington Post. His brand new book, Nightmare Scenario, Inside the Trump Administration's Response to the Pandemic That Changed History. I mean, you know, you talk about doctors. I mean, there were doctors. The other debate that happened was over certain therapeutics, specifically hydroxychloroquine. When Trump had heard about it and started hearing some anecdotal response and success with it, because it was Donald Trump talking about it, boy, you know, you can't even, you know, even in some of the legacy media, you couldn't say the H word, even though it was responsible for, you know, like in one particular case in southern Florida, a guy had already said goodbye to his family, and the doctors came in and said, hey, you know, we got a Hail Mary pass here. If you want to try it out, we could try this. And he goes, hey, what do I got to lose? I mean, I'm counting hours here before I'm gone. And within, I think it was a couple of hours, next thing you know, this guy had been born again. He's sitting up and, you know, calling his family. He said, yeah, the report of my death was, was early and incorrect, you know, so he survived. And so he started hearing stories of that. And even to this day, some of the therapeutics have been maligned. And it just makes you wonder, you know, what is going on here? You know, is this an issue of, like they say, especially in journalism, you follow the money to get down to the real story, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is one we really struggled with, because if you remember in March and April 2020, it was a terrifying moment. I mean, frankly, it was kind of like a 9/11 type atmosphere where you didn't know what was going to happen. You know, these hospitals in New York particularly were just completely overrun. There were bodies in gurneys and hallways. There was nowhere to take sick people. No one knew what to do. And so the president did try to advance this drug, hydroxychloroquine, which I think on net probably has not been seen to be beneficial in mass to the people, but has had anecdotal benefits to folks. But what he was trying to do was to get a conversation going and also to sort of send a signal, listen, we can't spend 5 years studying these drugs, okay?
Right,
like,
exactly.
This is a crisis.
Hey, Damon, can you give me 10 more minutes, please? Do you have 10 more minutes?
Of course.
Okay, all right. We'll go to a quick break. We got more from Damon after this. Stay with us.
This is sponsored by Purina. During these uncertain times, people aren't the only ones adjusting to spending more time than usual indoors. Our furry friends have also had to adapt. According to a recent 2020 study, 94% of pet owners rely on their pet for emotional support. That's why it's important to have a daily routine for our pets, including exercise and enrich activities, in order to maintain their health and happiness along with ours. Dr. Kurt Venator, Purina's chief veterinary officer, shares some tips.
Most pets love the extra attention they're getting these days, but some may become overstimulated or stressed as we all adjust to being at home together. Help keep your pet healthy and happy by sticking to a routine for meals, treats, and playtime. And just like people, our pets also need exercise. Get creative with indoor activities like tug of war, hide and seek, or laser pointer play.
To learn more on how to keep your pets engaged, happy, and healthy during quarantine, visit www.purina.com/homewithpets. Again, that's purina.com/homewithpets.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
An internal State Department memo from July confirmed received by Secretary of State Anthony Blinken warned of a swift Taliban takeover, exposing President Biden's claim he was not warned before last weekend's Taliban takeover. Republican Congressman from Georgia, Jody Heiss, tells Newsmax TV the White House has gone silent on providing lawmakers details of what's going on in Afghanistan.
We have tons of other questions, such as our embassy. Is our embassy secure? If not, has it been breached? Is the information, sensitive information, in the embassy safe or secured, or has it been destroyed, or has it been captured by the Taliban? We have tons of questions, and thus far we have zero answers.
38 days later, most of the 50 Texas House Democrats that ran away from the responsibilities on voting integrity legislation returned Thursday. The Texas Supreme Court this week ruled that they did break the law and could be arrested. USA Radio News.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Traders, listen up. As life in America starts to return to normal, are you looking for the best trading opportunities? With the current real estate market, the rise of crypto, and the volatility of tech stocks, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. Text the word money to 813-813 to learn how our technology analyzes over 1 million data points per day. Text the word money to 813-813 so you can learn how to predict market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Whether you're trading stocks, options, Forex, futures, or crypto, Vantage Point's patented artificial intelligence can give you a massive edge. Text money to 813-813 to find out how to maximize your gains. Text the word money to 813-813 to learn how to use the volatility to your advantage. Don't wait. Text the word money to 813-813 now.
By texting in, you consent to receive calls, voice, and text messages using automated technology regarding offers by or on behalf of Vantage Point.
Right here, right now, Bill Martinez.
Martinez here. Damon Paletta continues with us. We're grateful for the additional time. Damon is with the Washington Post, and we're talking about his new book, Nightmare Scenario, Inside the Trump Administration's Response to the Pandemic That Changed History. On, I guess, on the positive side of leadership, was Trump was, boy, I mean, he was the perfect CEO to get the, to get the machinations rolling for Operation Warp Speed. He saw that we needed, you know, from, you know, the evidence and the advisement of the scientists and the health community, said, look, we've got to do something. We've got to get a vaccine. Is there anything we can do? And so it took someone with Trump's leadership and ambition to say, look, we've got to fast track this thing. Let's do Operation Warp Speed. And, and look what he did. I mean, basically, you could probably say because of Operation Warp Speed, you could argue that he saved millions of lives in the process.
Oh, for sure. I mean, Bill, it might be one of the biggest miracles of our lifetimes. OK, the fastest vaccine before this was for the mumps, and it took 4 years. And they did this one for an unknown virus of unknown origin in less than one. And so it's just, but frankly, I think it's kind of a miracle, you know, in a way that, it, like you mentioned, it did save millions of lives. They were able to get the shots going quickly in 2021 into the arms of, you know, obviously they started with older Americans, healthcare workers, first responders. I think now we're at over like 160, 170 million Americans have been vaccinated. You know, the data show that if you're vaccinated, you're in a much better you're much less likely to contract COVID. And if you do contract COVID, you're in a much better situation in terms of getting seriously ill. So, No, I mean, I think, you know, there was obviously there's three vaccines that are can be used in the United States. It's just amazing to me that they did this. You're right. The president just refused to accept the status quo and the kind of normal process. And he got a lot of public health officials and scientists on board, and they did this thing where they essentially started developing the drugs before the drugs were even through the kind of trials. And that allowed them, once the Pfizer and Moderna drugs were approved, to have all these vaccines ready immediately. And so I cannot imagine the situation if we did not have that right now. It would just be so devastating.
Can you imagine? Yeah, exactly. No. Yeah, and
with this variant now, that you're kind of grabbing onto everyone who hasn't been vaccinated.
Right. And, well, they're also finding out that even if you've been vaccinated, the Delta variant is attacking you as well. So this is all, you know, this is stuff that's, you know, being studied and, you know, a work in process. And we've really turned America into a human laboratory, so to speak, with this. Because, like you said, of unknown origin, we're still debating that, but it doesn't matter. We're trying to get on top of this thing so we can save people and, you know, bring it to some, you know, reasonable controlled measure, and whatever that, you know, that means. In your book, you talk about missed opportunities to control the pandemic. You know, and you really look at face masks, the discussion about face, we touched on that earlier. But again, we had such mixed messages about wearing, not wearing. And then the other thing is that you also have, because it became political, you had the opposing force, you know, saying, well, I'm not going to get vaccinated. I mean, if this was under Donald Trump's administration, you know, they negated the veracity of the vaccine from the get-go. And now they're complaining that people are hesitant. Well, you told people for the longest time that it lacked credibility and it may do you harm. And now you're telling everybody, hey, everybody needs to get vaccinated. You know, what is it?
Yeah, I know. And that was one of the things that was so frustrating about the response, was that, you know, because this virus was new and there was so little known about it, and it was being transmitted by people who had no symptoms, it sort of broke all the rules of, you know, a pandemic. And so when the public health officials completely changed their tune on masks in March 2020, it led a lot of people to be confused about, well, why do I believe you now when I was supposed to believe something else 2 weeks ago? And at the time, Senator Kamala Harris said at the vice presidential debate that she would not take the vaccine if President Trump was the one who approved it. You know, that kind of politicized this for, you know, tens of millions of people.
Exactly.
And it makes it really hard to put that genie back in the bottle. And so I think, unfortunately, right now we're living with the legacy of a lot of the kind of political fireballs that were thrown last year. And it's really heartbreaking because this virus is really dangerous and it's taken so many lives. And I think what we needed all along, and maybe it was too much to ask, but was kind of a sober, honest, you know, conversation as a country, you know, about what needs to be done, what's true, what's not true, and how do we kind of move on, like you said, and get this to a place where we can live with it and not to a place where we're still kind of chaotically responding.
Well, there's a lesson to be learned here, and that's what you're saying, Damien, is that we as a country set ourselves up. We got so emotionalized and politicized that, you know, we didn't, you know, I can't imagine that we'd sit there and navigate World War II, the call to respond to a world war, and be so emotionalized and debate, you know, every issue. Should we take a gun? Not take a gun. What should we? I mean, this was insane. You know, is it really as bad as we think it is? You know, I mean, the way, you know, the whole political environment set us up for this insane response that, you know, even for Donald Trump, I mean, and maybe some of it was that he didn't have all the facts, because I know that you addressed this issue that you thought that maybe Trump, you know, should have been more serious about this. And of course, that's somewhat easy to say when he's taken the advice of even Dr. Fauci, because frankly, I take exception to Dr. Fauci. He had people that, you know, his money invested in the Wuhan laboratory, and he had scientists there 3 years earlier, and they came back and reported that, hey, these guys are reckless. There's going to be a problem here. So why was Fauci so quiet and seemingly surprised that this virus came out of the Wuhan lab and not a wet market?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that we continue to report on. And, you know, we're really proud of the book. It came out June 29th, but it's not like the final chapter is the final chapter. And
yes.
And so I think we've been aggressively reporting on this. It was us at The Washington Post who broke the story about Dr. Fauci's emails to show that he was in contact with Chinese officials in the spring of 2020. I think it's going to be tough because, you know, we're trying to get answers to questions that the CIA is trying to get answers to questions of. But we're really committed to understanding the origins of this virus that changed the course of human history. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's going to take some time. It's not going to be easy. But we really feel like, you know, understanding what happened is going to be crucial to us understanding, you know, the 2020 and beyond. And I would just say on President Trump, you know, when he was asked to shut down flights from China, there were like no deaths and 12 cases or something, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it was kind of, he was presented with not a lot of good information, but some really difficult choices out of the gate. And I think there was a time when he was kind of responding like anyone would respond in disbelief, you know, like what is happening?
Right.
And then it was in March and April when the hospitals, especially in big cities, started to get overrun and he, you know, realized that he was kind of a wartime president, and then politics got inserted quickly after that with masks and everything else. So I think he responded initially like a lot of people would, but things just got chaotic as we got closer to the election. The
name of his new book is Nightmare Scenario. Damian Paletta continues with us. We got about a minute left here, Damian. To that end, I thought early on that President Trump should have shut down all flights into the East, into New York. And because what happened, you had people, you know, from China go to Europe and then from Europe then migrate to the East. And they believe, again, that it's still being studied, but they believe that that was part of the, part of the process of how the pathogen came in. And so aggressively.
Certainly.
And I believe that Trump, something tells me in my gut that Trump wanted to close flights for the East as West, and he did the West, and of course, then he got all the names thrown at him and all the hysteria. So it didn't help, like you said. There was not a consistent, united consensus on how to address this war. Hey, let's continue this conversation. More from Damian after this.
If you thought you missed the lowest mortgage rates in history, you're in luck because they're back. Mortgage rates are near historic lows again. So if you have a mortgage, refinance it and forget it. You'll never have to worry about refinancing again. Network Capital Funding is offering a low 15-year fixed rate at 1.75% with a 1.93 APR. Incredible! Network Capital has built a reputation for saving people time and money with our unique process that's fast, simple, and secure. Our 15-year fixed rate is 1.75% with a 1.93 APR. Second chances don't come often, and you may never see these rates again. So refinance it and forget it. That's a 15-year fixed at 1.75%. Yes, 1.75% with a 1.93 APR. Call the experts at Network Capital now. 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1-HIT. As in home run. Call now and save big on your refi. 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1448. NMLS ID 11712. Not licensed in all states. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Financial Protection and Innovation under the Financing Law. Number 603D787. An Equal Opportunity Lender. Rates subject to change and may not be available at rate lock. Discount points may apply. Subject to credit approval. Call 800-500-1448 for additional cost information.
You love your dog. Is something bothering him or her and you can't figure out what it is? Maybe they seem slow or lethargic, and maybe they just don't have energy. Wouldn't you like your dog to be living their very best life? PetJoy offers a money-back guarantee on all of its products. If your dog won't eat it or you don't see the results you want, just let us know and we'll make it right. Totally risk-free. What do you have to lose? You can't buy PetJoy multivitamins in a store. The only way you can get them is through this unique radio offer. And if you call right now, learn how to get 2 bottles free with your order. Turn your dog's life around and make him or her a happy camper. Ain't that right, boy? He said call PetJoy right now. 800-890-8117. 800-890-8117. 800-890-8117. That's 800-890-8117.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Bill Martinez, we have a country to save.
With you, ladies and gentlemen, 14 minutes before the top of the hour, Damian Poletta continues with us. We're grateful to have this entire hour to talk about his new book, Nightmare Scenario. It's so important for us to understand and appreciate all the great work that you and Yasmin have put into this book, Damian, because it helps us recount. I mean, part of going forward is looking back to see where we got here. And truly, you know, as they always say, we don't want this to happen again. Well, if we really don't want to happen again, then, you know, in much like, travel industry, and when there is a airplane accident, they rebuild everything. I mean, they got a black box. They break all this down. It takes about a year to study and analyze exactly what happened so that when you come out of it, they learn, hey, was this just a mechanical function? Was it a people problem? Was it a pilot problem? Do we need to retrain, adjust our training modules to help people going forward? I think that that's the perfect model, and I'm hoping that we can get it outside of the political realm to where we can look at, you know, this whole, you know, situation with COVID and say, hey, this is what we did wrong. This is what we did right. This is what we should do going forward, right? And I think that's your heart in writing this book.
Bill, I could not agree with you more. I think that, you know, there's been so many challenges this country has faced over the years and other countries too. Mm-hmm. And I think the best models are for people to take a breath afterwards, put together a group, you know, maybe it's a bipartisan group or it's not political at all. It's just a group of experts who come and study it and find out what happened. And, you know, quite frankly, the conclusions should make us all uncomfortable. You know, no one's going to, this is not going to be an I told you so analysis. And one of the reasons we did this book is we felt like if we didn't do this and if we didn't talk to more than 180 people to find out what happened inside the White House and inside these scientific agencies, then maybe no one else would. And then all this would be kind of lost to history.
Oh, could you imagine? Oh, what a loss.
Right. And so I think, you know, people need to understand about, you know, the role the president played, and people need to understand about the role the teachers unions played, and people need to understand all of this so that next time when something like this happens, and there will be another virus, there's always something, you know, we're better prepared as a country to be honest with each other. And, you know, I'll never forget standing in line at the grocery store for 2 hours to buy toilet paper, you know, I'll never forget walking, you know, down a street and all the restaurants are closed. Like, these are things that'll be with me the rest of my life. And I think it's just important for us not just to have these kind of haunting memories, but also to kind of learn from them so that next time something happens, you know, we're better prepared and more honest with each other and more understanding with each other so that we can, you know, handle this in a better way.
Did you, in your study of this, did you see highlights where humanity came together and was supportive, or the power of this this variant or this disease and this virus was such that it isolated us?
Well, I mean, you know, as a parent, I felt the isolation extremely. I mean, it was just so hard. You know, obviously, I had a very demanding job last year as the economics editor with the economy crashing in the spring. And so I felt a lot of obligation to my reporters to help them around the clock. But at the same time, I've got two kids, and my wife was really stressed with her job. So that was difficult. I think, you know, quite frankly, the heroics we saw at the hospital with the doctors and the nurses and the ambulance drivers and so many teachers that went above and beyond, I think, you know, those people don't get enough attention and praise. But, you know, I think we should all just be so grateful that these people were there putting themselves at risk in many cases to try to help others. And, you know, like, I'll never forget when, you know, the first time I had to get an emergency COVID test when we were exposed, my family was exposed to someone. And the person who did the COVID test, you know, I can't imagine they were getting paid a lot of money, and they were obviously putting themselves at risk doing like 300 of these tests a day. Wow. But that they did that, and they were, you know, able to try to keep my family safe and stuff. I think it's people like that who probably never got a pat on the back or a $50 bonus or anything that I think should really hold their heads high, because they went above and beyond and helped us get through a really tough period.
You know, Damien, this is the American spirit. You know, that's not in any way, but, you know, you sharing gratitude for first responders and the healthcare community and what they did. And there's probably, you know, millions of stories just like this, Damien, where they came forward at risk and just trusting that, you know, this was something that had to be done in order to get to the other side of this. And we're still yet to really feel like we're on the other side. But, you know, it is that spirit that we need to embrace that should carry us forward so that we can make better choices. I mean, even now we've learned so much that going forward, we should be a lot better. But I think, as long as we stay kind of mired in the political, emotional environment of it, it's going to make it difficult. People are going to still be confused. You're going to have, you know, vaccine hesitancy taking place. And now you've got the heavy hand of government coming in and asking for, well, not even asking, they're demanding vaccine mandates. Well, you know, when you have a free people, I mean, there's only so much they can handle. And I think that the American people may be at the end of themselves in being pushed around by the government and, subordinating their liberties.
Well, I would just add to that. I mean, you're right. There's so much tension. And I obviously, as a parent, see these protests with all the debates at schools, and it's heartbreaking that you know, the country is still so torn, and I understand why they are. But you're right. We should take a breath and just celebrate the heroes. I mean,
yes.
People who spent the night at grocery stores restocking the shelves, you know, who are making minimum wage. Those people are heroes, you
right.
know, to me. I mean,
yes. No, you're exactly right. Yeah. No, so, I agree. Now, you know, in particular, because you're on the East Coast here, we went through, you know, things being available. You know, Governor Cuomo, of course, now he's pretty much on his curriculum vitae is the death of some 12,000-15,000 seniors. I have no idea what he was thinking. I mean, even the basic understanding of this very dangerous virus, what he was thinking to put seniors in such danger.
Well, they were sitting ducks. And, you know, my great aunt died in a nursing home of COVID in November in North Carolina.
So sorry.
I mean, it's just the worst. They were just the most easily preyed upon by this virus. They just don't have the immune system to fight it off. Mm-hmm. It, you know, gets in their lungs and it's over. And so I think what happened in New York is getting a lot of attention. It should get a lot of attention. It should get a lot of scrutiny. And I hope, you know, those families deserve answers because I think at the time, obviously, maybe who knows what they knew and when they knew it. And we should find that out. But
yeah, without a doubt,
it was just a real tragedy. And that these people never had a chance.
Well, you know, and another thing that Donald Trump did in terms of, you know, partnering with industry to get these ventilators done. I mean, think about that. You know, what had happened, and also, you know, part of the deception was that, you know, the Chinese needed, you know, the PPE, and we sent a lot of PPE there, and they were warehousing it so that they could sell on the market at a higher price. I mean, this deal, I mean, and there was something I just read today that calculated that the Chinese are responsible for over $30 trillion of loss around the world. I don't know if that's going to stick. That is a huge, you know, starting number of damages that people are saying, hey, you know, we are looking to China as being responsible for the release of this. And there was, you know, a Chinese scientist who got out of China, and she was one of the top virologists. She was on Tucker Carlson saying that this wasn't an accident. This was done on purpose by the communist Chinese. I mean, that's quite the indictment. And boy, when she made that statement, they did everything they could, you know, to kind of keep her on the down low. We don't hear a lot from her now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just so important for us to sort of get to the bottom of the origins of this. And it sounds like, I think the intelligence community is working on a report for the White House, and it should, they should know more soon, which would be great. You know, I think you raise a really good point about the manufacturing stuff that the president and Jared Kushner and others were involved in. I mean, we were really caught flat footed as a country because we had exported so much of our manufacturing to China and Mexico and other countries that when we needed this stuff quick, you know, we had to go looking for it in other countries. You know, there was not a domestic mass production facility, really. There was one in Texas, I think, but there wasn't the capability to mass produce masks and ventilators and other things. So
exactly.
I think it's made both parties take a hard look at the decisions they've made on trade and on manufacturing and wonder whether it was a mistake to really outsource so much of that and kind of let globalization take over when you have a moment like this, when you need these things and you need to have more control and more trust in the products that are being created.
Well, no doubt it all contributed to this nightmare scenario inside the Trump's administration response to the pandemic that changed history. That's the title of the book for Damian Paletta and his co-author, Yasmin Aboudaleb. Am I saying that correct, his last name?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And congratulations on the book. We got about a minute left, Damian. I'm going to let you summarize and, you know, tell the audience what you would hope that they would gain from reading your book.
Well, thanks so much. I mean, I think what we tried to do, because everyone lived through 2020, this is a book with a surprise ending, right? But we wanted people to understand what happened, what took place, you know, kind of the risks and the dangers, quite frankly, that some of these people were up against. And also to kind of, we wanted to slow down some of these debates over masks.
Well, Damian, congratulations on the book. It'll be linked at our website at BillMartinezShow.com. All the best to you. Take care.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
America, do you want to win the spiritual war against the demons currently attacking our land? Step one comes from the Bible. Lay down the law by resting on the law and do your resting on our pillowcases printed with His Ten Commandments. Find them at ProjectPillowTalk.com. Don't sleep on this message. Go to ProjectPillowTalk.com or call us at 877-289-7439. When you call, ask to receive another powerful spiritual weapon free, a CD packed with the secrets of forgiveness using all the instruments of praise written in the Bible, free with your order of our Ten Commandment pillowcases from ProjectPillowTalk.com. Shipping is free too, so call or click 877-289-7439 or ProjectPillowTalk.com. Get your Ten Commandment pillowcases for only $29.95 per set and watch the darkness flee from the light.
Blue Star Medicare.